This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me this week on the Community Matters program are members of the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra. And I'm really glad to be talking with you all today because I understand that you have a new concert that's going to be coming up on November 20th. And I really am going to be encouraging people to come check it out because we're going to be learning all about some of the different symphonies that you guys are going to be playing on the 20th. So thank you all for taking the time to join me today.
Well, thanks for having us.
I'd like to start off with just getting an idea of how you came up with the idea for this concert and kind of how you plan to make this one a little bit different from the last one that you did. So what were some of your inspirations in creating this concert when you came up with the lineup for it and the music?
Well, first off, I want to thank you for doing being our MC for our summer concert.
That was great.
Oh, it was so great. Great job. I had so much fun.
Yeah, and we had a good crowd and great day. Yeah. It all worked out quite well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was the first time I conducted in a kilt, too.
That was really cool. I mean, that was just a sight to behold.
Remember, it is a family show, all right?
That's fair. Yeah. So I guess with that being said, it was a moment where you should have been there if you weren't. But no, with that being said, it was a lot of fun. It was a great time. It was a huge turnout. I mean, the amount of people that came out to see it was just absolutely great.
And it was great to be back after the pandemic was, you know, and to get people together and you know.
I estimated it was at least 600 people there. It was just packed. I mean, really, in back, front, side.
That's one of the best we've had, huh?
Yeah, they love it. And and the city of Warren actually loves it. They really like this event because it's simple for them to set up. It's one night, and people come, and they're done by, you know, we're out of there, but 9:15 at the latest.
Oh, yeah, at the latest.
Yeah.
Well, I should introduce you to Brenda Schnick, who's our executive director of the orchestra, and Amanda Andrews, who is in one of our cello, in our cello section, extraordinaire.
Absolutely. Thank you both for taking the time to join me today as well. What I'm curious to discuss with you two is, what are some of the interesting roles that you have had to take on and learn when working with the orchestra? What are some of the things where you've had an opportunity to step up and kind of, you know, show your prowess and give an opportunity to show your skills?
I think that's a very interesting question. I'm kind of not a violinist by trade, so I'm more of like a business person. So that's why I'm the executive director, right? And I think the challenge has been really when the pandemic started, a lot of people stopped playing music, and then new people are starting to get back into it again. So we had to try to find personnel, and that was really, really difficult at first. It's getting better now. I think everything is more flattening out and getting more like it was. And also just, you know, there's 52 people in the orchestra with 52 different personalities. So bringing everybody together and having a good day and a good performance, that's a challenge. And I think this orchestra is particularly positive energy orchestra. So I think that's why it works all the time, because everyone tries so hard, and regardless of their skill level, they're happy to be there. They want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, I think that's what we're really good at, is we really like our community, we really like each other, and we like to play together.
I'm not sure about that.
Always
no,
the comedian.
We do have a great time.
Well, you know, you make a really good point with some of those things. And one thing that I'm kind of curious to discuss with you in, you know, this situation here is, how do you kind of encourage the proper amount of practicing amongst everyone in the orchestra? How do you kind of, like, make sure that, you know, everyone in the orchestra is taking the time out to practice and get the work done to be able to perform and do a good concert?
Well, I think each individual musician sort of knows their level. And when they feel like they're not rising to a certain level, they'll work towards getting, you know. And so when I took over this orchestra, how many years ago?
It was like 2003.
Oh, that long ago. I was 12. But when I took over this, it was not the same group as we have today. The quality, the skill level has risen quite a bit. And I think people, you know, they know when they need to work on something. If something's not working, then yeah, they go home and they practice, and they come back and it sounds better. And that's what's great about this group, is every week it's sounding better, you know? So, and I look forward to these rehearsals. I mean, I live in Buffalo most of the time, and my wife, you know, hates to see me leave on the weekends and, you know, and come down to Warren, but she knows that I'm happy here. So that's, you know, that makes it, when you enjoy going and doing your work and, you know, and working with these incredible people, then you don't mind, you know.
You bring a really good point with that there. And, you know, that's one of the things that I was kind of curious about. So you mentioned that you have a lot of players that are playing at a really high skill level now that are part of the orchestra. And obviously, you know, with 52 people in the orchestra, there is just a lot of different both instruments and player levels that you need to learn and kind of adapt for when you're choosing these pieces of music that you choose for these different concerts. So what were some of the things that influenced your decisions in choosing the pieces for this upcoming concert?
Well, we're doing Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony, which is a great work. Last year we did the Scottish Symphony. And so that was, and then before that we did Bizet's Symphony in C major, which, I mean, these are major works. And years ago I wouldn't have programmed things like this. But I see what's happening with this orchestra and the fact that they love to be challenged, you know? And in fact, in the rehearsal last night, Brenda's like, that first movement is like the harder than anything else. meanwhile, the fourth movement to me is like, I think it's quite challenging. You know, the second movement of the Italian Symphony is absolutely gorgeous with this cello walking pizzicato line this staccato line that, you know, is beautiful. But the fourth movement is quite challenging. And then again, I think, you know, we were saying that the first movement is the most challenging. There's a lot of notes in these things. I mean, years ago I wouldn't have programmed like this, but I see, you know, quite an improvement in this group, and so I can actually have fun and even challenge myself, you know. So
that's a really good point. Now, one thing that I'm curious about, Amanda, what is your take when, you know, you're getting ready to perform some of these songs and you're getting ready and you're practicing and, you know, you're seeing some of these other instruments doing their parts? What are some of the things that you look at when you get ready to practice and play that are ways that you kind of think, you know, I can use my time with the cello here in this part to, you know, bring it out? So what are some of the things where, you know, you can find ways to bring out what you play?
That's a good question. Well, I try to, you can never be too prepared. So I try to prepare things like bowings and fingerings, and then when I get to practices, I kind of meet with the other cellists in the group, and we compare notes and see, you know, what each other is doing. And then we also have individual sectionals, we call them. So like the cellos will get together and we'll run through our things together, and then bring what we've practiced back to the orchestra. And sometimes we have just string rehearsals, and so we break things down like that.
Okay, now one thing that I'm kind of curious about when you mentioned those is, you know, when you get together with the other cellists, do you all have the same music, or do you all kind of have a little bit different music basically to like fill out the part? Do you all have the same piece?
Most of the time, yes. Occasionally there will be a solo part.
Okay, now that's one of the things that I was kind of curious about too, is if you have a place where there is a solo part like that, how do you determine amongst the cellists who's going to be playing it? Does someone like to volunteer?
We sword fight with our bows, no. We have a principal cellist, and so everything just kind of automatically goes to him. But when he's not there, we take turns filling in.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's really interesting there. Now, one of the things that I'm kind of curious about and understanding this is just how all the different instruments work together to make these signature sounds. So one of the things that I'm curious is, how are you able to use some of these different symphonies that you've chosen to bring out some of the different parts in the orchestra that you have available? Like, are there certain parts that are designed to highlight different parts of the orchestra?
You know, that's another good question, I must say. So you have these written down, right? So you actually studied ahead. No,
thank you.
I actually try to pick pieces that actually highlight are strong parts of the orchestra. So, yeah, it's that. I mean, the Mendelssohn Symphony has no trombones, has no tuba, but it doesn't lack bottom because it relies. Mendelssohn wrote a lot for he wrote well for strings, and so and even the string writing is difficult as it is. It does, you know, as opposed to a pianist writing for strings. Sometimes they write for the piano and then put it into strings, and it lies quite awkwardly on the instrument. Mendelssohn knew what he was doing. So, but I try to pick pieces that I know we would enjoy playing, and so
And also the steps of Central Asia. You picked that because wanted particularly this English horn.
Oh yeah. Oh, the Bordine. The steps of Central Asia. It's just absolutely a gorgeous piece of music. And although the first violins play a harmonic like forever.
It's one note. It's there. Oh.
Yeah, weird. One note. I mean, for measures is that?
It's like 35, 36.
Wow. And they don't change.
And we don't know. And I'm like, okay, wait for the flutes. Okay, now I have to stop.
Like, this is how I know where I am.
Yeah.
They're used to getting the solos.
Yeah, that makes
the melody.
Sense.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous. I mean, it's so well written. Bordine was actually a chemist by trade. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all the music from Kismet is Bordine. And he wrote the beautiful Nocturne from his string quartet in D major. Which they actually put modern words to. I don't want to say modern, maybe what, in the 50s and 60s? Yeah. I guess it's not that modern, but...
was it Stranger in Paradise?
Yes,
is that
right.
The song?
Yes, right. Right. That's
da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's
Bordine.
Wow. Steps to Central Asia. And then we're also doing this chaconne on this program, too, by Buxtehude. Now, that's not your everyday common, you know, composer name. You know, you don't sing, you know, Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach and Buxtehude. But Buxtehude was an early Baroque composer, late Renaissance, early Baroque, mainland organist. And this chaconne is a piece that was buried in our library. And I one night was like going through the library and thought, whoa, this looks pretty cool. You know, it's an E minor and it ends on a Picardy third. People are going, what the heck's this guy talking about?
Favorite chord.
Yeah, and it's Amanda's favorite chord. She loves Picardy thirds.
No, I do not.
No, she doesn't. Picardy third is when you're playing in a minor, you're playing in this minor mode, and then it ends on a major chord. And it's like, oh, the sun shines at the end, you know? like the prelude to the fifth Bach cello suite. It's C minor, and it ends on a C major chord.
Yeah, I hate it.
She hates it.
I wasn't done brooding yet.
But there's this Buxtehude piece we're doing. We're also doing highlights from Les Mis, which is one of Amanda's favorite musicals.
That is true.
Yeah, but it doesn't have Bring Him Home in it, which I thought it was sort of weird. But
it's a great song.
It is. It's like the best song in the whole musical. It's sort of a fun little selections. And then we're doing some pieces from The Nutcracker and The Waltz of the Flowers. Yeah. So, and is there anything else? Am I missing anything else?
I don't think so.
I think that's it.
Yeah, because the symphony's quite long.
Yes.
It's going to probably be a whole half of the program.
Right. It's our first half of the program.
Wow.
And then we lighten everything up on the second half because it's sort of a seasonal program as well, too.
And now, how long is this concert expected to take compared to...
Probably an hour.
Yeah, an hour with a 15-minute
program. I try to program. I don't like 2.5-hour programs. Plus, I have another concert immediately after that. It's 7 o'clock in Jamestown, so
I
got to hightail out of there. It's like, so it can't be that long.
When you think about it, Aaron, that symphony, my part is 11 pages of music, and it's all black.
All black.
That is crazy.
It's 11 pages, just my part.
That's a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a half hour of playing.
It is, yeah. And I mean, that's definitely a lot to try to mentally prepare for, practice, and be able to do. So when is the concert going to be starting on the 20th, and where is it going to be taking place so that people can come see it?
So the concert's going to be at 4 o'clock. At the Holy Redeemer Roman Catholic Church. And we will start selling tickets around 3:15. And tickets are available at the door. It's $10 for adults, $5 for students and seniors, and children 11 and under are free. Last fall, we had a great turnout. We're expecting it. We really like playing in this church. It has great sound, and it's got really nice, comfortable seating for people, and it also has handicap it's handicap friendly, so it's good for our audience.
Absolutely. You bring up a really great point there. It's going to be an amazing show. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for everyone that's involved, and it just is a really great opportunity. So I'm encouraging everyone to get out there and, you know, make sure to see it. So one more thing that I wanted to make sure that we talk about is, Amanda, I understand that you have been working on something in the Jamestown area, and you have a nonprofit that mm-hmm. is new and available, and I'm curious to learn a little bit more about the nonprofit and discuss some of the different work that you're doing up in Jamestown, because it's pretty important.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for asking. So myself and my friend Katie Ferry, who's a violist, actually she plays violin in the Warren Field, but she's really a violist. We started a group in Jamestown, and right now our third concert will be a week from Friday at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Jamestown. That's basically our home base. We have done all of our concerts there so far, and we'll be doing them in the future. This concert coming up is free for the music part, and then we're having a little reception afterwards because one of our members just opened a restaurant in Mayville, and they're catering it afterwards. So you can get tickets for that. Yep. And this concert's going to be really fun. We're doing a set of movie pieces. We're doing a set of TV songs from TV shows. We're doing a classic rock set, and then like a Latin-y type set. So we're trying to be a little eclectic and different in our tastes. She and I tend to love the Baroque period quite a lot, but we're branching out and doing many other things. So we've got that concert coming up, and then our winter concert is going to be December 16th, which is also a Friday at St. Luke's. So
that's going to be a lot of fun then. Now, one thing that I'm kind of curious is if people want to learn more about that organization that you mentioned there, do you have like a Facebook page or an online presence that people can look up so that way they can get more information?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a Facebook page. You can go to the Chattacoin Chamber Ensemble page, and then on there we have a link to our YouTube channel as well. So we have been live streaming our concerts.
Wow, okay, that's going to be a lot of fun then. So one more time, the upcoming concert, the first one that you have, what is the time and date of that one?
That is November 4th at 7 p.m. on a Friday.
All right, perfect. So it's going to be a really great opportunity. I encourage everyone to come down to St. Luke's Episcopal Church on November 4th and check out that concert. It's going to be a lot of fun. And everyone, make sure that you get ready and go to the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra concert, because it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be taking place November 20th, and it's really going to be just a great opportunity.
Also, I want to talk about the rest of the season, too.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. So our concert... our next concert after this is
March 12th,
and it is a concert all about trains.
We're
doing the trains.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
We are doing the trains. All right. So it's all classical music based on trains, and we were actually slated to do this concert 2 days after they closed everything down for the pandemic.
I remember that.
We had the programs printed, everything was ready, we were all, and then it was, I think, a Friday, and Brenda called me and she said, go home, just go home, you know?
A bummer.
And so everything closed down, and we had an artist coming in who painted trains, and we had, music.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so I have all this music ready to go. We never did the performance. And so we are doing, in March, we're doing our train concert.
Heck.
Amen. And then, as if the pandemic never happened. And then for our Mother's Day concert, we have guest artists from Jamestown area called Serendipity. And Serendipity is an all-female group. And I just actually did a concert with them not too long ago in Jamestown. Incredible. They were members of the Chautauqua Chamber Singers, and and they are just a superb, superb group. And Lauren, oh, Hiller, yes, duh. She's married to our concert master. I should know this, right? But Lauren will be singing in the first half of the program on the Mother's Day concert, O Mia Bambina Cara, Puccini, and she's also doing Lejar Viglia. And so, and then the second half of our program, we will have Serendipity join us for. And so we're looking forward to that. That's going to be an exciting concert, too.
That's going to be so much fun. Wow.
And then, of course, we have our summer concert, which we're going to ask you to MC again if you're available.
Absolutely. So, that'll be so much fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That crowds that came out to see that last year were just absolutely amazing. And, you know, some of the pictures that I was able to see of the whole block here just absolutely full of people past the fountain was just fantastic to see. So
it was a happening. Definitely a happening.
Yeah, and, you know, we're looking forward to seeing something else amazing like that. And I'm really looking forward to that Mother's Day concert. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. It will be a lot of fun. And the train concert as well, too.
And hopefully we can get that artist to come back, because the plan was we were going to set up all of his work in the foyer at the church so that people could view the works during the intermission and while they were getting ready to buy their tickets and sit down. And he had some really beautiful things.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So, you know, with that being said, we'll have to get together and have another conversation as we get closer to that concert so we can highlight some of the pieces that are in that and talk about that. But I'm really glad that you were all able to join me today to be able to discuss these things. And one more question that I had to ask, is there any online presence that you would recommend people to check out to get in touch with the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra? What is the best way for people to find you online?
Facebook.
Yep, we have a Facebook page. We respond to messages pretty quickly, and we also have been posting all of our concerts live streaming, and we have a YouTube page, and so.
Amanda is the co-owner of the Facebook page. She usually puts things on there better than I do.
I just really like making pretty posters.
It always is fun, and you know, it's going to be a really great opportunity for people to come check out some really amazing concerts, and I'm really excited for the lineups that you have. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
And, you know, that's the thing that I'm just so glad that we could highlight, because there's just so many opportunities, whether we're looking at concerts that are in Jamestown with the St. Louis Episcopal Church and what you're doing there, and whether we're looking at what you guys are doing down here in Warren with the Warren Philharmonic. It's going to be really fantastic. And just one more time, if people wanted to check out the Facebook page for what you're doing, it is the Chattahoochee...
The Chattahoochee Chamber Ensemble. And let's see, how do we spell that? Chattahoochee. Chattahoochee. There we go.
Chattahoochee Chamber Ensemble. Okay, well, that's going to be awesome. So thank you for all taking the time to join me today. I'm glad that we could highlight these things, and it's going to be a really good time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
America. The most powerful nation on earth. The power to make decisions affecting your life begins here in Washington.
But how do you know if the people here, the people you elected, are really representing you? I'm Rachel Knapp, and that's our mission here in Washington. We know there's a lot of places you can get coverage from our nation's capital, but there's only one place where you can see what your local lawmakers are doing.
Washington Bureau Reports with Rachel Knapp. Coverage you can count on. Only on Erie News Now. Community Matters on 92 Gold.
You're listening to the greatest hits here on 92 Gold, and today joining me here on 92 Gold is Derek McCown from Yankee Bush Productions. And Derek, I'm very excited to be able to talk to you today because I understand you and Yankee Bush Productions are working on bringing another really great act to the Struthers Library Theater. It's going to be coming up Saturday, November 12th. Now, I am very excited to have this conversation with you because I'm excited to learn a little bit more about Motown, and I understand that the act that you have coming in to play at Struthers Library Theater is called Uptown Fever. So can you give us a little bit of information about what Motown really is, and you know, then from there we can discuss what Uptown Fever is?
Motown Records was founded by Berry Gordy in 1958. That's the year I was born, and it was located in Los Angeles, and it really gave the start to so many big stars. The Temptations, Aretha Franklin, Jackson 5, the Ohio Players, Martha and the Vandellas, and it was also nicknamed Hitsville. And Uptown Fever has been around quite a while in Jamestown, and they have members from Western New York and Northwestern PA. And they kind of booked themselves as a disco band, and there will be some disco. So Motown recorded artists like I just mentioned from the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, right through the disco period. So that's what you're going to see. Everything from the Supremes, that's what you're going to hear. It's not a costume show like some of ours are, where they look a lot like it's, but the music is stellar, and you'll think you're hearing those artists.
Wow.
And that's what this is all about. And they've kind of gone back a little farther in time than they typically do to get some of those people, like Aretha Franklin and the Supremes, Jackson 5, before disco.
So I understand
Ray
they also,
Charles
yeah,
was also
Motown. Do they
also
cover
guy.
Things like Casey and the Sunshine Band
yes.
and a few others? So,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, one of the things that I really like about this is, you know, Motown, when you talk about that style of music, represents just a huge swath of people making a huge, you know, variety of different kinds of music that all sound, you know, pretty similar. And it's really very cool to be able to listen to that stuff and hear the variety that they have, you know, with that Uptown Fever band.
It's fantastic. And when you look at the type of music and the performers and how they changed popular and rock and R&B forever, and it came out of Berry Gordon's record label. And, you know, he discovered Jackson 5. He, you know, it's really pretty cool. And people like Ike and Tina Turner, who you think of back then as blues, R&B, and then, of course, she had her own pop career, too, after. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you know, that's the thing. When you talk about these guys and, you know, you talk about these, this band here, Uptown Fever, it's really pretty cool because they're able to cover a large variety of the different artists there in a really good way. And, you know, if you're interested in, you know, the Jackson 5, the Ohio Players, Aretha Franklin, the Temptations, the Supremes, anything along those lines, mm-hmm. this is a perfect match for you. And again, it's going to be Saturday, November 12th, and it's an 8 o'clock show. So it's a really great opportunity to come down to the Struthers Library Theater and, you know, see a really good show here in downtown Warren. Now, what I wanted to ask in relation to this is, if people wanted to get their tickets, what is the website that people can go to get their tickets? Is that Yankee Bush Productions?
YankeeBushProductions.com. And you can look at our ticket deals, 6 packs, 10 packs. If you have a gift certificate from one of our advertisers or you've bought a 10-pack, you can go to our site and get your tickets. You can also call the theater office Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, 814-723-7231. And with all our shows, tickets will be available at the door. If you decide late and you want to get tickets at the door, you can now do that with cash, check, or card. And so we hope people will come on out. I want to mention something that went on here for a number of years at the White Swan Dance with Mr. and Mrs. Stroud. Did I get that right? Yes, I did. Chuck Stroud and his wife. They brought people like the Drifters and did kind of pre-Motown R&B to the White Swan Dance Hall. And I hope those people who used to come and dance and will come on out because this is your music, and I hope you'll come on down. And I told Chuck's wife, and I always mispronounce her first name, so I won't try, and but Mrs. Stott, that you know, we'd hope that her folks would come. You know, they're those people who, because they retired 3 years ago, and you can't see that music anymore. And I wasn't going to do anything like that until they were done. Retired. So come on down, you White Swan people from the last decade, and see a great show. And we do dance at the Library Theater in the side aisles and in the back. So it'll be great. And now you can take a beer or wine to your seat at the Library Theater. So that's nice.
And you can go to Sally's Encore Bar a little bit ahead of the show, right?
Right. The bar opens at 7 for an 8 o'clock show and is open through intermission. And it's great. It's been working very well, and we just hope people will. We hope we had almost 500 people for AC/DC, so we want those folks who want to see this kind of music to please come on down. This is our first time with Uptown Fever, but I don't think it'll be the last, because we're hoping for a great crowd and a really great show.
Well, you know, you bring a really good point there, Derek. And, you know, what I really want to say is if people are interested in listening to, you know, Under the Boardwalk and things like that, and My Girl, Love Child, and, you know, Dancing in the Street, Proud Mary, some of these really great hits that we all know and remember, now is your time. It's Saturday, November 12th, 8 p.m. at the Struthers Library Theater. You can make your way down a little bit ahead of time for Sally's Encore Bar, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. You can get your tickets ahead of time at yankeebushproductions.com. I highly recommend you do that because, you know, like Derek just mentioned, they had 500 people, you know, for their AC/DC show, so you're going to want to make sure that you get your tickets so you can get it, make sure it's not sold out, and you can do that by going to yankeebushproductions.com and doing it now.
So, thank you.
Yeah, Derek, thank you for taking the time to join me today. I'm really glad that we could learn a little bit more about Uptown Fever, and I'm very excited for this show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.